We have been in this series called How to Build a Great Life, and this morning we come to this, we've been going through the book of James. The book of James is a fabulous book. It's a practical book. He's the half-brother of Jesus, and he says, hey, here are some principles, some practical tips if you'd like to build a great life. And we come upon this passage in James chapter 3 that is about godly wisdom, wisdom from above, and only God could do this. He provides this passage that perfectly highlights the wisdom that we see so often in mothers. And so we're going to highlight that. It's James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. And here's what it says. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? You know what my answer is? Moms. They're wise and understanding. That's where we get this phrase. Have you ever heard the phrase, mom knows best? Raise your hand if that's ever proved true in your life. See, we all know that. Mom knows best. James says, who is wise and understanding among you? I'm thinking moms. Let them show it and see if moms fit this picture. Now, let's be honest. James did not write this primarily or exclusively for mom. But this weekend, we're going to look through the lens of the mothers in our lives in an attempt to honor them. It says, let them show it by their good life. Wow, I look out here and I just go, the good lives of the mothers among us. By deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom, the deeds done. You ever heard that phrase? If you want something done, ask a busy mom. You ever heard that one? Deeds done in the humility, and the word for humility there in the Greek is the opposite of arrogance or self-promotion. Just humility that comes from wisdom. And then he goes on, James explains, he takes a couple of verses to explain earthly, unspiritual, even demonic types of wisdom. That's bad wisdom. And then he goes back and talks about the wisdom that comes from heaven. This is the next slide. But the wisdom that comes from heaven, and the reason why I put that in yellow is James is reminding us that everything good in our lives, even the wisdom that we see personified and embodied in the moms among us, or maybe your mom if she's passed, or a mom that you know, is a gift from God. It's from heaven. And so everything that we see, everything that we appreciate should cause us to tumble our affections upward where we're thanking God for what we're seeing and what we're benefiting from in terms of the wisdom. And then James gives a list. He lists attributes of this type of wisdom, which is a gift from God. He says it's first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And then he gives a promise. He says, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. And I know every mom in here is trying to be, and watching online, you're trying to be a peacemaker. And there's a promise here that James makes, that you will reap a harvest of righteousness. So really, there's only three groups of mothers in here. Those of you who have reaped a harvest of righteousness, those of you who are reaping a harvest of righteousness, or those of you who will reap a harvest of righteousness. This is a promise that God gives in relation to wisdom, and we see it personified so often in moms. One more scripture before we get to the big idea. You're probably familiar with the Ten Commandments. They're given to Moses in Exodus chapter 20. There's only one, and by the way, the commandments to the Israelites in the Old Testament times were given not as hard and fast rules to follow. They were guidelines to building a great life. Simple as that. And the only one with a promise attached to it is this one right here. Exodus chapter 20 at verse 12. And it's this. Honor your father and mother that it may go well with you. You will build a great life if this is something that you do. Honor your father and your mother. And so this morning on Mother's Day, we're not trying to be clever. We're trying to be clear. And based on these scriptures, here's the big idea. If you're a note taker, you might want to just jot this down at the top of your sermon notes here. Here it is. To build a great life, we should honor moms and be grateful for their wisdom. If you agree with that, and I dare you not to, if you agree, especially today, if you agree with that, say amen. Amen. To build a great life, we should honor moms and be grateful for their wisdom. So for our remaining minutes here this morning, we're going to look at what that wisdom looks like, just based on how James unpacked it, those seven attributes. And then we're going to finish with how, practical things we can do to honor moms. That's how we're going to march through this text. Sound good? All right, let's look at the first one that James says. This wisdom that's from heaven that we see personified so often in our moms is, first of all, pure. Is there anything in life more pure than a mother's love or wisdom for her children? I think not. And as a matter of fact, I think if I made a list, I think this purity of love and wisdom is what I miss the most about my own mom. A few years ago, my mom died after a battle with cancer, and I feel like I did a healthy job grieving her death, but I'll be honest, every once in a while, and for those of you that have lost your mom or lost a loved one, you're probably familiar with this, every once in a while, out of nowhere, I'll get this, and this is how I would describe grief as you move further and further away from an event that was hard to process. Every once in a while, I'll get this rogue wave of grief that just kind of crashes over. It doesn't stay for long. Maybe it's a set of waves, and then it goes out. And about a year ago, here's a picture of my mom, my favorite picture of her, just joy, joy. This is on her favorite spot in a beach in Hawaii. Listen to a song that we love together. About a year ago, I dropped the kids off, and I was going home to take a quick shower, come back here for meetings, so dropped them off. And as I was driving, it was a morning where I was dealing with some discouragement. I was discouraged about something that was going on. And in the midst of that, I dropped the kids off, and so I'm alone. I'm driving back to my house. I only live a mile away. And a song comes on that reminds me of my mom. And boom, just waterworks. Tears flow, so much so that on Front Street over here, I actually had to pull off on the side of the road because I was seeing three of everything through the tears. And just have a moment. And the thing that I missed the most in that time was just the purity of my mom's love and wisdom. And here's what I mean. My mom and my wife is here, Bridget, and I know that you are for me. I mean, you love me and have great wisdom and that sort of thing. But a mom, she bore me, she raised me. She was, beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is what I knew about my mom. She was for me. And I knew it. I knew. This was from my early childhood, my number one cheerleader. Here's a quick example. And I just missed it so much. I missed the opportunity to be able to call someone and just talk to someone who I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, more than anyone in the world, was for me. Regardless of the situation, she was for me. I grew up playing sports just like a bunch of you did and some of your kids do. And my mom, she was a passionate woman. She would scream and yell, but she always yelled the same thing. But it proved how much she was for me. It proved the purity of the love. When I would make a play or a catch or a run or something like that, she would just yell this. She would go, "My son!" That's what she yelled. "My son!" That's what I was just like. And I think as I pulled over and was weeping through all those tears, it was just like, I missed the purity of that love and that wisdom. She was for me. "My son!" Whew. There's the love, the wisdom of a mom that is a gift from heaven. Let's be honest. It's first of all pure. It's first of all pure. And then James goes on. He said, secondly, it's peace-loving. It's peace-loving. I showed this list to a mom who's a friend this week. I said, which one of these is your number one? She pointed at this where she goes, peace-loving. I love peace. I go, give me a little bit more about that. She goes, well, I love it when all my kids get along. So the moms are like, yes. This is an easy one. If you're a student in here, a child, even a young adult child, just to get along with your siblings today at least, woo, that's a big gift because their moms are peace loving. They love it when all their kids get along, don't you? And also, this word is pretty rich. It doesn't just mean loving peace. It also means making peace. It means peacemaking, peace promoting. So moms, part of the wisdom that God gave them, they're especially adept at promoting peace among their siblings, among the family, negotiating, that sort of thing. But I will say this, there probably is in your house, I know there is in my house, and it varies a little bit, but some there's like, I remember a pastor saying, there was an hour, there was a moment every afternoon in my house, and this was the witching hour. This is when peace disappeared. And it couldn't be loved, it couldn't be promoted, it became very elusive. And for him, for his wife, and thankfully, his wife helped him to know this. So this was good. She said, the time where it all ends in terms of the peace that I can promote and that I love throughout the day is 4 p.m. If you can schedule. You can start at 7. You can leave as early as you want. If you can be home at 4 p.m., that's where it comes unraveled. So he says, I arranged my whole schedule, all my meetings there, entire church. It was a large church. Function around him getting home in the afternoon at 4 p.m. So guys, this one's easy. All we have to do is figure out what that time is, and we could just ask. And then we cannot, this is what we can't, we can't overpromise and underdeliver though, can we? Like, we got to get there at that time or earlier. Because if you get there later, you'll probably, this is how it works. If you get there early, you walk in, there's smiles, there's joy. You might say, honey, how was your day? And she goes, I had a great day with my children. You know, there's ownership there. If you get home late, it's here, take your kids. See the difference? It's not my kids, it's your kids. Because of this right here. They love peace, they promote peace, and when it's elusive, okay, it's time to step in. He goes on. Here's the next one. James says, this wisdom from heaven we can be grateful for is considerate. I saw a picture of this week. It was beautiful. And we should acknowledge this. This week, something awful happened in our community, and we have to talk about it in the church. We lost a high school freshman, Ben Curry, at San Ramon Valley High School, who drowned. This happened on Tuesday. And it really sent a ripple of shock and grief through our entire community. And the very next night, this was Wednesday night, perhaps many of you were there, there was a candlelight vigil at San Ramon High School. And I'll show you a couple pictures here. The entire home stands, every seat packed, people spilling out onto the track behind there, several rows deep, packed, tons of students, not just San Ramon High School students, Monta Vista students, Cal High students, tons of parents, tons of moms, not just moms, but tons of moms. And I had an opportunity that night to meet the mom who lost her son. Her name's Karen. And I went up to her, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to, this is an ask. I would like you to join me in praying for Karen and the Curry family as our whole church. Because here, I went up to her and I said, you don't know me. I'm a pastor at CPC. We want to love your family. We want to love your family. We're praying for you. We had prayed for them that morning. And I said, I want you to know that our entire church is open. If you want to have a memorial service, you want to have it at our church, you want to bring, I'm praying that she would say yes and let us host a memorial service for her son and love her and love our community in that way. And here's the amazing thing that was so considerate that I learned about Karen that night. One of the speakers said that her primary concern at that vigil was not to grieve the loss of her own son, which was 36 hours before that. So she's still a little bit in that fog and that shock of grief. She said her primary concern was caring for all the other students who had to process this. That just blew me away. But this is the heart. This is the wisdom of a mother. This is going back to this idea of being considerate. Considerate. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul says, in humility, there's that word again, consider others more important than yourself. This is what she was being so considerate. She was thinking of others in her deepest, it'll probably be the deepest grief that she feels in her entire life. So join me in praying for her. I just want a chance to love and show her the love of Christ. James goes on. He says, here's the next attribute. Submissive. This is not submissive one to a relationship. A literal translation of this means willing to yield to others. If this doesn't describe what a mom does on a daily basis, I don't know. You are the last to sit. You are the last to eat. You are often the last to get a shower. You submit so often your agenda, your wants and needs to others. And I see this on a daily basis in my own house. My wife, Bridget, who loves to exercise, run or hike in the morning, she'll wake up early. She'll study with one of our sons and then make breakfast and then get lunches ready and then do a drop-off and then maybe work in the classroom. And then before she goes to work herself at her chiropractic office, she'll squeeze in a run or a workout. And it's like, she's getting that in, but it's after because she's willing to yield to others. This is what this means. It's a beautiful picture, and so many moms do it. I was listening to a podcast many months ago, and something stuck in my head about this idea of how moms are so willing to yield to others. The pastor said, there's only one rule in our house, and it's you don't get to disrespect your mother. And it is so practically applied that at night when we do dinners, he had two sons and a daughter. He goes, my sons are not allowed to sit until mom sits at the table. They stand behind their chair until she's done. and then they all sit. When she's ready to sit, then they sit. I thought that was pretty sweet. Still working on applying that, not quite there yet. James goes on, full of mercy and good fruit. Now, if there is something that full, and this literally means rich in mercy, rich in good fruit. We know, many of us know, that our moms, or a mom that we know, maybe it's our wife, is rich in mercy. And we know this experientially, we probably all do, because think back to a time when you were young and you did something wrong. Remember that? Let's just make it real simple. Who did you run to first? Which parent? Would you run to dad or would you run to mom? On the count of three, say your answer. One, two, three.
Mom!
It's easy. And the reason why is right here, because they're full of mercy and good fruit. Way more so than dads. I see it in my own household. Full of mercy and good fruit. That's just part of what God has given them. It's part of the wisdom from heaven that God has imparted to and through moms. James goes on. Here's the next one. Impartial. Impartial. A beautiful picture of moms being impartial in terms of how they show their God-given wisdom is a story in the writings of Brennan Manning. Brennan Manning was a pastor and an author. He's passed away now. In one of his writings, he tells the story of someone walking up to a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi, who had six children. And he said, "Rabbi, I can't get anybody to give me an honest answer on this, but since you're a holy man, here's what I'm going to ask you. And be honest with me, which of your six children is your favorite?" I mean, seriously, which one do you love the most? And he was like, "Whoa, that is a tough question. But since you're asking, let me think." And he goes, "Okay, I'll be honest with you, and I have never told anybody this. But," he goes, if I had to give you an answer, my favorite is Susie. I just love." And the reason that I would say that is when Susie got hurt, when she broke her arm, the courage and the grace that she showed in relating to everybody, even the person who was kind of responsible for it, I just saw that. And she was hurt, yes, but it's probably Charlie. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's probably Charlie. Because the look that I saw in Charlie's eye, he was used to being the only or the youngest son in the house. And when his little brother came home, he was trying to love him, and he was loving him, but I could tell that he was fighting back tears because he was struggling with the idea that now there was a new sheriff in town, this young baby. And so just that moment that I saw him and that pain that he was processing, if you're asking me who my favorite is, it would probably, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, he said, it would be Amber. And here's why. And what he did is and this is such a great picture of moms, what he did is, he basically answered this way: the child that I love the most, the one that's my favorite, is the one who needs to be and feel loved the most in that moment. This is the impartial wisdom that moms have. It's like a spidey sense. They just know who needs the love in that moment. They know who needs the tender touch. They know who needs the affection. They know who needs the tough love. It's the impartial wisdom we see in moms. And then there's one more. There's one more that James says, and here's the last one: sincere. The wisdom from heaven is last. It's sincere. Now, this word right here, I wrestle with it most of the week because if you read four or five different translations of the Bible, you get four or five different versions of this word. Literally, it means this: consistent and unwavering in their commitments. Consistent and unwavering in their commitments. This is the fierce wisdom, love, protection, provision of moms for their children. Consistent and unwavering commitment. And the picture that I got, and I know we've been talking to moms a lot, but this one maybe the guys can relate to a little bit more. Do you remember a few years, the Warriors are in the playoffs, they're about to take on the Rockets, and that's another thing to pray for here this morning. But a lot of people are saying that the difference maker in the series could be KD, Kevin Durant. And I was thinking a few years ago, remember when KD won his MVP? He was with the Thunder at the time. And he got up to give his speech, which was an amazing speech. In the middle of the speech, he locked eyes with his mom and he completely lost it. He completely lost it. He broke down. Here's a I think we have a picture of it. He broke down and had to pause for several moments. And finally, he looked at her, and he was tearful, and he looked at her. He goes, "You're the real MVP. You're the real most valuable player." And the reason why is because he was thinking. He said this later. I started to think at that, and it was that word that James uses, the consistent, unwavering commitment that she has made to invest in him to get him to that point in his life. This is all a picture. It's all a picture of the wisdom that is from heaven. It's a gift from God, and we see it especially in the lives of our moms. And so let me just remind you of our big idea. To build a great life, we should honor moms and be grateful for their wisdom. That's seven aspects that we could just be grateful for in the wisdom that we see in moms. Now, in our remaining few moments, we want to talk practically about this. How do we honor them? I mean, this is a weekend where we should honor our moms. And I'm going to give you three ways. And the first one might surprise you. The first one is a way to honor them in our hearts. The second is a way to honor them verbally with our words. And the third one is something tactile to do with our hands. This one might surprise you, the first one, though. If you're, and this is not an exhaustive list. These aren't the only three ways that you or I can honor our moms. And I recognize that many of us have moms who have passed. Let me say this. One of the best ways, if your mom has passed, to honor her this weekend is to find another mom to honor. She would love that. I promise you that. Here are three ways to honor your mom. This is the first one. Forgive her. Every single person here, every single person watching online has a mom. And every single mom is imperfect. There has not been, and there never will be, a perfect mom. And so because of that, we have some unmet expectations. Perhaps we have some wounds. Perhaps we look back at our lives and we go, and there's some resentment. And yet one of the ways that you can honor your imperfect mom, who I promise you, given what she was dealing with, did the best that she could, is to, in your heart of hearts, forgive her. If you need scriptural motivation, the scriptures teach simply, forgive as the Lord forgave you. When you think of how the Lord forgives you, that's the forgiveness that you should apply. And this Mother's Day, to honor her, forgive her. Forgive her. That's an internal, that's a heart one. But that could free you up in ways that are so profound, it could blow your mind. Here's a second way. Affirm her. Affirm her. Again, if your mom has passed, perhaps you know a mom. Perhaps you're married to a mom. Perhaps there's a mom who is part of a village or tribe that helped raise you or is helping raise your own children with you. Affirm her. The scriptures say, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. This is part, and if you want to see this mom in your life bloom, if you want to see her respond positively, if you want to speak life in her, last week's message, and all our archive messages are online, cpcdanville.org. Last week's message was all about the power that we have with our tongue. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. If you want to speak life into your mom or to a mom that's meaningful to you, affirm her with words. You can do that. You can do that today. You can do that this weekend. And here's the third and final one. Write her a handwritten letter. Write her a handwritten letter. You can do this. It takes time. Time is our most precious commodity. But here's the thing. If you're a parent or a grandparent in here this morning, you know that when your son or your grandson, your daughter or your granddaughter, or your great-grandkids take the time to actually write you something and make something with their hands, what do? You cherish it. And 9 times out of 10, I know you, you probably keep it. And you display it. If you went into my office right now, my office is filled with cards, art. I don't think any of my kids are in here, so I can be honest with you. Bad art, really bad art. That's amazing, that I love it. I think it's the best in the world. And it's displayed forever in my office because it's theirs and they made it with me in mind. If you take the time to write her, whoever she is in your life, a handwritten letter, oh, it would bless her so much. It would honor her. It would honor her. And to build a great life, we should honor moms and be grateful for their wisdom. That's it. Just three little tools, three little handles to apply this message. the last thing we're going to do this morning is I just want to pray a prayer of blessing, of affirmation, of comfort in some cases, over all the moms in the room. And so, and this is a prayer that was written many years ago by a friend. She's a CPC member. Her name is Laura Taggart. She's a therapist. She was the director of the Community Presbyterian Counseling Center for years. She was a staff member, director of marriage and family here. She's also a published author. And she wrote a prayer to and for and over moms that I want to share as a closing prayer here this morning. And so everybody here, men and women, would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? And especially if you're a mom, just let these words wash over you as we offer them as a prayer to our Heavenly Father. Gracious and loving God, from the beginning of creation, you have invited us to walk with you, to know you deeply as a God of great faithfulness and provision. You have called us your children. We thank you for the gift of life and for all relationships that reflect your loving care. On this special day, Mother's Day, we give you thanks for moms. Their hearts have embraced us and their love has nurtured us. We have learned so much about you from them. You, God, are tender. You are forgiving. You long to comfort us in our pain. You are always there. It was in the warm embrace of our mothers that we first learned that we belonged, that we were loved. Our hearts were prepared for loving you, belonging to you. We thank you for mothers that have been a reflection of your character and whose sacrifice has modeled the love extended to us in Jesus Christ. Lord, we recognize the high calling of motherhood and the strength and wisdom it requires. So we pray today for your blessing on all our mothers and all mothers gathered here and listening online today. Some are just beginning their journey. We ask that the joy they feel will flow deeper than the challenges they face and that your love and grace would sustain them. We pray for mothers who are in the midst of a busy pace of family life. Lord, would you allow times of rest and nourishment? Grant them strength when they feel spent on days they feel they have nothing left. May the love and honor they receive today be a confirmation of the blessing they are every day. We thank you for those who now enjoy the fruits of their labor. For moms with grown children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, may they be able to see the generational impact and the legacy of their lives. We know, Lord, that not all of our experiences have been positive. We ask for your special blessing on mothers who are enduring great stress and pain, for those balancing career and motherhood, for those who feel inadequate to the task, for those who parent without the support of a partner. Bless these, Lord, with your presence and your support. For those who have lost a child, for those whose child is ill, for those who know the pain of a child estranged. Bless these, Lord, be their comforter. For those who have known the pain of not having a mother who loved and nurtured and shared her life, Lord, would you be their healer and all-sufficient one? God, grant every mother wisdom and discernment as they continue to guide the lives you've entrusted to their care, patience for those challenges they face and will face, that require their endurance and steady presence, joy in their service, knowing it is you whom they serve. And finally, Lord, today, may each mother know more fully your embrace of love, and may that love fill each mom's heart with peace, with strength, and with a renewed awareness of the gift that they are to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.